1859, Darwin spilled the first splashes of his universal acid, and the effects were like magic, burning human arrogance into ashes, in pretty much the same way that Copernican math did. No, the stars don't shine just to improve the view from Earth. No, we're not the center of the universe. No, we weren't created in the image of Jupiter. No, we're not so special. And yes, the truth hurts. But that's how evolution works. Once it's been applied, the acid burns its way into the superstitious side of the human mind and fills it with light. It even dissolves the original sin of pride. That pride that says, I'm a special creation, and my creator has given me dominion over nature, and he has the power to replenish his creatures. So if species go extinct, well, he can recreate them later. And if he doesn't, well, that's just part of his plan. Ah, but Darwin's acid is hard to withstand. It plucks the arrogance deep from within the hearts of man, and teaches us never to build our houses on sand, but instead to try to understand why we're here. Just one species among millions in this biosphere, with millions of ancestors behind us, whose fighting spirits combine to give us this great survival gear. These minds, these limbs, these incredible tools, perfected by millennia of competitive use. And yes, these attention-seeking genitals too. Without them, these human forms could never improve. It's such an elegant view, filled with breadth and grandeur. And yet some people react with depression and anger and say it's so unsympathetic. It's so viciously random. What's the point of compassion or ethical standards if this is all just a game that these organisms are trapped in, genetically adapting to environmental factors? Then there's no responsibility for individual actions. It's nihilistic. Where's the governing dynamic? Well, once again, Darwin gives us some answers. He says, yes, everything from violets to violence to viruses, it's all just organisms adapting to environments. If you're alive, it's because your ancestors were the best survivalists. They were the finalists in the genetic Olympic Games. Every one of your ancestors survived to reproductive age, and they were all better than their competitors at getting laid. Otherwise, you just wouldn't be sitting here today. Some say it's cynical, but I find something inspirational in this vision of Darwin's, and it goes like this. Organisms are not isolated. Organisms are part of the environmental mix, so your decisions affect evolution. It isn't directionless. Now, before you dismiss me as a mad environmentalist, just try to imagine how natural selection applies to countries that have industrialized. Companies live and companies die. And when customers buy based on a company's green plans, that affects the economy. Just ask Alan Greenspan. See, cultural evolution is ours to reinvent. Wait, can we affect current events? Yes, we can. And when we choose who to sleep with and reproduce, our sexual choices affect the gene pool. So it's simple. All we need to do is refuse to sleep with mean people, and things will improve. Especially women. On you, the pressure is greater, because men will always do what it takes to get into your favor. That's just in our nature. So if selfish behavior was a sexual graveyard, the effects would be major. In each of these cases, our intentional efforts can play the part of environmental pressures. I can say this is a space where a peaceful existence will never be threatened by needless aggression. I can say this is an ecosystem where people listen, where justice increases over egotism. I can say this is a space where religions achieve coexistence and racism decreases with each coalition. This is my vision of Darwinism and how we factor in. Each of us is a part of the environment. We all pass through it and then we change it and affect the way that other people adapt to it. And afterwards, we get to look back and see how we impacted it and maybe have a laugh if our sense of humor is still alive. And what did Charles Darwin do? Darwin threw some light on the origins of mankind and he left us with skewered pride. But he taught us that yes, there's grandeur in this view of life. There is grandeur in this view of life, and the fact that it also happens to be true is nice. But I can't say it as well as Mr. Charles Darwin. So come on, let's hear your version from the origin.
several powers having been originally breathed into a few forms or into one. And that whilst this planet has gone cycling on according to the fixed law of gravity, from so simple a beginning, endless forms, most beautiful and most wonderful, have been and are being evolved.